I spent a good part of the last week trying to decide what I was going to say today. I had a different idea when I signed up for this service 3 or 4 months ago. And then, you know, life happens. So yesterday I wrote something new. So if our country is unified in anything, it is in that we have all found someone to dismiss, someone to distrust, someone to hate, someone to blame. We have just experienced the ugliest, most divisive election campaign in my memory. Both major candidates set records for disapproval ratings. The level of vitriol in the campaign was unprecedented in the modern era. We as a country are unified in our disgust and in our unhappiness. It is hard not to lose hope. It is very hard to know how to respond. As Unitarian Universalists, we believe in, affirm, and promote the inherent worth and dignity of every person. We promote justice, equity, and compassion in human relations. We believe each person should have a vote, a voice, and we promote the use of the democratic process. Yet sometimes that process leads us to outcomes we find hard to accept. The outcome of this election was in many ways inevitable. In its wake, a large portion of our community feels disenfranchised, attacked, dismissed, and forgotten. There are demonstrations, some violent, protesting the results of the election. The election winners push ahead heedless to the cries of those who quite legitimately fear for their future well-being or even their lives. The prospect of a Trump administration with a Republican majority in both the House and Senate strikes fear in my heart, as it does in the hearts of many, many of my friends and neighbors. I fear for the safety of Blacks, Asians, those of North African or Middle Eastern descent, Hispanics, Native Americans. I fear for our LGBTQ friends, neighbors, and relatives. I fear for those whose faith calls them to worship differently, our Jewish, Muslim, Buddhist, Hindu neighbors, anyone who does not fit the stereotypical American Christian tradition. I fear for the safety of women who are the targets of sexual harassment and assault. I fear for those with mental and physical health challenges who may not be able to get the help they need. I fear perhaps most of all for the future of our planet and the delicate ecosystem on which all of our lives depend. It is hard not to be fearful when a large portion of our country has tolerated and excused racism, xenophobia, sexual assault and harassment, and many, many other abuses of those perceived to be different or weak. It is hard not to be fearful when our elected decision makers reject sound science and the facts in front of us, preferring instead to hew to beliefs that match their preconceived notions and wishes for how the world should be rather than how it actually is. And although it may not be pleasant to acknowledge, it is important, very important, for us to recognize that if Hillary had won, the mood of the electorate would be the same. The actors would have changed, but the roles would all still be filled. There would still be many, many of our friends and neighbors who would feel disenfranchised, attacked, dismissed, and forgotten. There would be demonstrations, some violent, protesting the results of the election. The election winners would undoubtedly be pushing ahead, heedless to the cries of those who quite legitimately fear for their future. The coalition that elected Donald Trump has every reason to be fearful. They did what they were expected to do. They finished high school, they learned a trade, they worked hard, they served in the military. They did everything they were asked to do and sometimes more, and in exchange they were promised the American dream. Instead, over the last several decades, they or their friends and relatives have lost their jobs and been unable to find others. Their real incomes have been steadily declining. Their pensions have been taken away or devalued. They cannot get health care they can afford. Their communities are falling apart around them and are racked by substance abuse and violence. None of the rules they had learned to trust are working. They have very good reasons to be fearful. And until Donald Trump, it didn't seem as anyone who could do anything about it really cared. They wanted to know who to blame, and Trump gave them answers when no one else would. They wanted someone to promise to take away their fears, and he did, even if the responses they were getting challenged the bounds of credulity. At least someone was listening and responding. We live in a country riven with and almost paralyzed by fear. None of us are immune. And if we continue on the road we have chosen, we will be a country destroyed by fear. Our UU tradition calls us to something more than that. Our traditions call us to rise above our fears and to join in the healing. There are two primary motivators of human action. There is fear in all of its progeny: anger, violence, greed, gluttony, blame, guilt. And there is love. We are called to rise above our fear, even though we have very real and legitimate reasons to be fearful, and to join with our community in love. Not just with those members of our community with whom we agree, but with all of our community. As some of you know, I've been working through the text, A Course in Miracles, with some of our fellow congregants over the past several years. One of the teachings that has been helpful to me is to recognize that there are only two types of actions, really, at base. There are acts of love, and there are cries for help, which are calls for love. In this country, in this moment, the cries for help are almost deafening. We are called to respond with love. In the language of the Course, love asks us to remember that each of us is a child of God. Each of us carries an inner light, even those with whom we most vehemently disagree and with whom we most actively contest. This notion is enshrined in our UU principles. We affirm the inherent worth and dignity of every person. We affirm compassion in human relations, acceptance of one another, and encouragement to growth. Love does not ask us to ignore the pain, and love does not ask us to accept error or willingly accede to plans that we know will lead to more pain, more suffering, more loss. However, love does ask us to see past the error to the child of God who is mistaken, and to lovingly invite that child to join with us in correcting the error and beginning the healing. Above all, in this moment, love calls us to see one another with compassion and to truly listen, not with our minds, but with our hearts. In so doing, we recognize that to listen, to truly listen, is a radical act. To open our hearts and be willing to see the divine within the other is transformative, calling each of us to something greater than our fear. It reminds us that you are not alone. We must listen first to those who are fearful in the wake of the recent election. We have reason to be fearful, and we must listen to those fears while finding a way to rise above them, to join together, to meet the world with compassion and love. We must listen, too, to those who do not see the world as we do. Our suffering will not end until we are ready to see past the differences to the divine spark we all share. We must listen to the fears of those unlike ourselves and find a way to see past the fear, theirs and ours, and meet together as children of God, bringing healing to our world. In joining together, we must have the courage to identify and name errors, ours and others, without blame, without recrimination, standing with one another in love to correct mistakes and address injustice, while lifting up each member of our community. We must invite our entire community, those with whom we agree and those with whom we have differences, to join with us in love and listen each to the other. We must remind one another that you are not alone. There is plenty of blame to go around. There has been prejudice, judgment, and dismissiveness on all sides. But focusing on blame or on the errors, of which there are too many to count, will not help us to heal. It will only prolong our suffering. To heal, we must rise above blame and meet one another with love, listening closely, addressing the errors and injustice which are the inevitable product of human interaction, while remembering always that we are all, each and every one of us, worthy of respect and dignity, challenging ourselves to see the spark of divinity within each individual and meeting one another with compassion and love. If we are to move forward as a community, as a country, we must have the courage to take the first step in healing and open our hearts to others so that they might join us. If we do not step first, who will? I pray that when we leave this service today, we may each experience the grace necessary to greet each person we meet as a child of the divine. That we may be willing and able to listen with our hearts and help each ease each other's suffering and fears. I pray that we may have the courage to confront injustice with love, gently yet firmly correcting errors while seeing beyond the actions to the divine spark within each actor. They, we, you are not alone. Blessed be. Please join me now in our closing hymn, Far Too Long by Fear Divided, number 160. This is a hymn I don't think we've sung recently, so Mary Lynn will play it all the way through once before we sing. Please join me in the words for extinguishing the chalice, which you'll find in your order of service.
We extinguish this flame, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These we carry in our hearts until we are
dead. Our closing words today come from Wayne D. Arneson, and they're found in the back of our hymnal, and they remind us of the power we have together and that we are together. Take courage, friends. The way is often hard, the path is seldom clear, and the stakes may seem high. Take courage, for deep down, there is another truth. You are not alone.